In this season, we're sort of taking time out from our usual endeavor as we work through a book of the Bible, and we're kind of sort of Advent focused, aren't we? And so if you turn in your Bible to the story as it's told for this portion of the story that we'll hear about John the Baptist coming, it's in Luke, it's in chapter 1. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the third book of the New Testament. It's the back quarter of your Bible. What do you know about the Christmas story? You think you've been there, done that? You got the t-shirt? Do you understand? There's a baby coming, and then there were angels, and people said, ooh, ah, and then there were animals in a barn, right? Everyone has got a barn in their nativity set. There's nothing about it in the scripture. Wise men come. How many wise men? You don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell you. The Bible tells you the gifts. So you say three wise men, because in your nativity scenes, you need to have one guy for each gift. So you got three wise men. But let's look at the scripture and see what it does say about this thing. In the days of Herod, it says in verse 5 of chapter 1. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah from the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? So what does it tell you about them? What do you already think about these great people? Huh? They are both pastor's kids. Do you see that there? They're both from the tribe of and the daughter of. These are ministry folks. These are holy rollers. These are people who, and it says that they're righteous. And so what is righteous? It's walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. How are you doing in your blameless walk and all the commandments and statutes of the Lord? The scripture says there are none righteous, no, not one. So tag, you're it. Right? These people were good people, the scripture says. And we're here reading it, we're not. Do you have low self-esteem because of it? Do you think, oh no, I'm just a worm? Right? That's the only word I can say that sounds remotely Scottish. I know it doesn't sound Scottish. It's just the one I can pull off. So there they were, righteous before God, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. So that's kind of rough, isn't it? First of all, there's a gender bias there, right? Two people, a man and a woman, don't have kids. They don't have ultrasound. They don't have all that stuff. All they know is that there's no baby. And everybody looks to the poor gal and goes, huh, that's too bad for you. You know, Zechariah, yeah, I have no kids. My wife's barren, right? But we don't know. You don't know. Except that in this culture, the desire, blessed are those who have children. They're like arrows fired. Children are a blessing from the Lord, right? And they'll go off into the world and your name will be made great. King David, you will have descendants on your throne forever. Abraham, I will make of you a multitude of people. This is how people orient toward the blessing of God, not Elizabeth. Not Elizabeth. This is a bad thing from her perspective that's happening to good people. God, we're good. Come on. But there they are. And it doesn't tell us the reason why. And we know, I don't know if you peeked ahead of what I've just read, then you see what's coming. It's going to all work out. But where are you in the story so far? Can you relate to these people? Do you got something in your life that every day I'm reminded? This Christmas season, this fantastic, wonderful, oh boy, Jesus was born and he saved us from our sins, Christmas season, is rarely about that. Oh boy, oh yes, I'm saved and Jesus is alive, but my sin is dead. How often do you draw on that for your joy? The other things are what kill us at Christmas time. And I don't care what you say, I know that before now and the day that we celebrate Christmas, that wasn't probably when he was born, it's going to be the, oh, you know what I need to do? How you doing? Well, I'm okay, but. Oh, you know where I just was? Oh my goodness, the drive. I mean, first of all, everyone is going to be using the Kleckmannsshire Bridge till New Year, right? There's no more fourth road bridge. So everywhere you think you're going is going to feel like syrup, swimming through treacle to get there. Is that what Christmas is about? No. It's insulting, I think, to compare the difficulty in driving through traffic with the grief and angst of a woman who yearns for children and doesn't have them. Okay? But wherever we are in our life, each one of you has something that's the thing. And if you've got only first world problems, great. Did you eat last night? You're better off than more than half the world. Did you come to church to feel bad about all of this stuff? No. But how do you think Elizabeth feels? How quickly ought we just read over it to get to the good part about the baby? There's people in this room right now who relate to the hope deferred that makes the heart sick. But the scripture finishes that verse and says, the desire, when it is fulfilled, is a tree of life. Do you yearn for life today? Because you need to stoke that fire. You need to demand of this life the joy that's there, that God has ordained, that's waiting for you, that you'll come into in this Christmas season, but everything is set against it. And the world doesn't sell it. And it's there to be appropriated. As we read the scripture, appropriate that.